This is an iHeart podcast.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun. On a Friday, a gigantic, enormous Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, and we are going to have so much fun. Some dude wants to know why liberal women think conservative dudes are creepy. Someone wants to know if Trump should keep doing sit-down interviews. Someone wants to know if they should have kids. Someone wants to know, well, questions about toilet paper. Why are Americans offended by everything? All that, including how I got my name, and so much more coming up tonight on the world-famous Jesse Kelly Show. I want to begin here. In fact, I'm going to combine two of these because the answer is very, very similar. So I'll do the first one. Dear Dr. Jesse, I think you don't even have to go to college to be corrupted by communist ideology. I love my sister. I'm sad she chose to believe in it. Now, he's kind to her, but she's lost her mind. He said, I have a question. I've been called a creep by liberal white women several times, and for some reason that word just eats away in the back of my mind. I was wondering what makes conservative dudes creepy to liberal white women. Okay, so hang on to that. Set that aside for a minute. What makes conservative dudes creepy to liberal white women? Next one. Dr. Jesse, can we talk about voting for a candidate versus voting against one? No one voted for Biden. They voted against Trump. I suspect it will be the same this November. How do we overcome this mentality in the voting booth? Well, let's have a long talk about this, because we have to understand programming and how programming works, why programming works, all right? So we've been talking all week, we don't have to go into it again, about the ongoing decades-long project to dumb down Americans. Americans do not understand basic civics. They don't at all make the connection between government spending and the cost of eggs. They're so dumbed down by this point in time, they don't understand certain things. But why in the world would the communists want that? Why would they want people who are so stupid? Well, let's talk about stupid people. I have a friend. I'm not going to give out his name. We were teenagers, high school. We were seniors in high school, and we had to leave town for some sports tournament we were going to. And he's an idiot, just a moron. I don't know a better way to describe it. And I love the guy, but he's a moron. He's just not very smart. He doesn't know anything. He just has a very low IQ. And because of that, of course, because we were young and stupid and cruel, we took advantage of it. And at one point, we paid him $5 to strip down naked and run through the hotel. We paid him to streak through the hotel. Now, a logical thinking person would say, hold on, I'm going to get busted for this. The arrest, the fine alone would make the $5 completely ridiculous, let alone the humiliation of having to talk to your parents. Anyone at any kind of an IQ level would say to themselves, wait, no, that's dumb. Not even close to worth it. I'm not doing that. He took the $5, clothes went off, and off he went without a minute of hesitation. Dumb people are programmable people. people who don't think and don't want to think, they are programmable people. Just think of them. I've used the example before, like robots or computers. They are so dumbed down and demoralized, they're programmable. And look, how many times do we talk about how I want to learn how to think better? I want you to learn how to think better. I want to know how to think about stories. I don't want you just to tune in to figure out what I have to say about a story. I want us all, myself included, to get better at figuring out the why, figuring out the big picture, so the second you see a story, you automatically come to your own conclusions because you understand, you've thought through it. That's what I want for me. It's what I want for you. It's what I want for all of us. We want to be thinkers. They don't share that. But back to what we were talking about, dumbed down, demoralized. You know, the communists do something that we roll our eyes at that's very, very, very effective on people like this. And it's going to come back to answering these questions. Why do liberal white women think conservative dudes are creepy? Why do so many people vote against Trump instead of for something? When the communists say things like this, you will roll your eyes, scoff. I do the same thing, roll my eyes. Oh, gosh, here we go. When they say things like this.
Think of this. Every other time the Ku Klux Klan has been involved, they wore hoods so they're not identified. Under his presidency, they came out of those woods with no hoods, knowing they had an ally. That's how I read it. They knew they had an ally in the White House, and he stepped up for them.
You rolled your eyes. I rolled my eyes. It's ridiculous. Trump was on the side of the KKK. Trump, there's nothing in Trump's history to show he has a racist bone in his body. In fact, you could make the argument, and many do, that Trump spends way, way too much time trying to prove he's not a racist. It's ridiculous, of course. It's ridiculous that Trump part of the KKK. It's absurd. You roll your eyes. I roll my eyes. Why do they say things like this?
Mark my words. If he wins this nomination, this election, watch what happens. It's a danger. He's a genuine danger to American security.
The things you roll your eyes at, the things you scoff at, the things I scoff at, they work. They work on a dumbed down, demoralized society. This is, honest to God, cross my heart and hope to die. This is a conversation I had last night. I was with a group of dudes, and there was a Democrat, not a friend, an acquaintance, not my friend, a friend of a friend, a Democrat came in there. And he started talking about a speech Trump gave yesterday. Of course, the communists can't help themselves. We can't just enjoy ourselves as dude. He has to make it political. No one was talking politics, but he had to do it. And he said, did you see that speech Trump gave yesterday? And I said, oh, well, here we go. I'm going to try to be quiet, try to remain calm. But of course, I was being polite. I said, yeah, I caught parts of it, talked about it. Man, it's so crazy. That guy's insane. I don't know how anyone can vote against that or vote for that. I said, oh, okay. Which parts? Well, he just sounded crazy. Sounded like a nut job. I said, no, I know. I heard you the first time. Which part sounded crazy? Well, when he's talking about immigration. Okay, what did he say? Which part was crazy? Well, the guy's just nuts. He had nothing. He had nothing at all. And finally, someone said, so you're going to vote for Harris? Oh, gosh, yeah. He said, did you see she came out for price controls today? That's standard communism, price controls. It'll cause starvation, poverty. It's horrific. Did you see that today? What? She said that today? Yeah, she said that. Well, I'm going to vote for her anyway. Okay, so you're going to vote for communism. You're going to vote for a communist? Well, that stuff's not going to be implemented. Trump is crazy. Now, I know you're frustrated right now just listening to this conversation. I will tell you, I had to excuse myself not long after this. I was off work. When I'm off work, I don't like to talk politics like this. And I could feel my blood pressure. I could feel the vein inside of my head getting ready to freaking burst. And I've been around these people before. But that was how the conversation went. Based on nothing, no specifics, no details at all. the whole Trump is a Nazi, but they do this to every Republican, honestly. Bush is a Nazi. Trump's a Nazi. We roll our eyes at it. That's ridiculous. He's not like Hitler. What are you talking about? But they do it because it works. Once you have dumbed down enough people in a society, once you've done that, then you can tell them anything and get them to move on things. They will vote for things that make no sense. They will vote against things that make no sense. Unless you think, no matter which side of the aisle you're on, unless you think and process through things, left, right, middle, moderate, I don't give a crap about what we're talking for what we're talking about now. Unless you stop, process, think, who's saying what? Why are they saying what? How is it possible? What is the motivation behind this? What is the greater thing at work? Unless you are a thinker, you have no chance at all. You're done. You will get eaten up by this system. Why do liberal white women think conservative dudes are creepy? Because they've been told that. It has nothing to do with reality or logic. They've been told that. Why do people crawl across the mile of broken glass to vote against Donald Trump? Because they've been told he's a Nazi, he's Hitler, he's the end of democracy, he's the KKK. Are any of these things based in any part of reality? No, but you don't need reality when you've dumbed down the sheep to the point we've dumbed down the sheep. That is why. Let's move on. Let's talk about, well, you know what? One more quick point on this, and then we'll move on. Oh, look, here's a little P.S. on this first email. P.S. I love Chuck. I've been on it off and on when I can afford it. It has definitely improved my life. The one thing I've noticed is when I am on it, I have way better sleep than when I don't have it. Stay strong, chalk-popping Jesse. He said, please don't use my name, and I will not. If you can, try to stick with whatever chalk products you take, natural herbal supplements, if it's just chocolate powder, if it's male vitality stacks. And I know money doesn't grow on trees. Don't do anything you can't afford. But you'll notice over time, it seems like there's a buildup in your system. And look, you took it today, you feel better today. You feel even better than that tomorrow and better than that the next day. And yeah, I do. I sleep like a baby. My stomach is better. My mind works better. I love it. Like I said, Chalk is not my last stop when I'm looking for something. It's my first stop. C-H-O-Q. Chalk.com. Go get a subscription to something. Use the promo code Jesse. Save yourself a bunch of money. We'll be back.
Truth. Attitude. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday, and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Right now we're going over, there were a couple emails about, hey, why do liberal white women think dudes on the right are creepy? Why do Democrats vote against Trump? That's their main motivation. It's not for Biden. It's not for Dome. It's against Trump. Why? Why do they call Nazi, Hitler, KKK? Why do they use those things? And I'm explaining that's why you dumb down a society, because dumb down people who don't think and don't want to think are more easily programmable. Have you ever seen a documentary on cults, on any one of the various cults, Jim Jones, you name any one of the various cults? If you have, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. If you haven't, allow me just to explain. You know what a cult is. I'm not going to insult your intelligence. But when they make these documentaries, they're, of course, talking about the cult and the cult leader and where they were and the crazy things they did. But the people they're interviewing during these documentaries are always former cult members. And when you watch these interviews with any depth at all, you'll find the former cult members almost universally. There are two things about the former cult members. One, they're thinkers. Why would you leave? You were part of a cult, but you left. Being a cult's very powerful. And they'll almost always, almost every time, they'll say something along the lines of, I started to think about this, or this didn't make sense to me, or I didn't understand. That's a human being, got caught up in something bad, but their mind was still working. They were still processing information and watching, thinking about things. I didn't get it. That's one of the things you will see almost universally. And two, almost universally, they will discuss how afraid they were of their fellow cult members when they were trying or thinking about breaking away, and oftentimes justifiably so. Now think about that. What if I start a creepy cult? The Cult of Jesse. That sounds awesome. What, Chris? The Cult of Jesse. Chris won't join. Don't worry. You can join it. Chris won't be there. The Cult of Jesse. And, okay, we gather. Where do we gather? I've got a shack. I've got a shack in Texas on a couple pieces of property. That's where we go worship me or whatever we do in our weird cult. Now, if you're part of the Cult of Jesse, of course, we have our meetups and we roast marshmallows and we worship Jesse. But why would it bother you if someone's going to leave the cult? Why should that bother you at all? They'll just go do their own thing and then they'll be gone. But it does. The thinkers who try to think and break away, they are treated with hostility by the people who don't want to think, and they don't want to be reminded that they're not thinkers, and they don't want anyone to break away. That is a huge part of the communist mentality you see out there. It's not just that they're not thinkers. It's that they don't want to think, and they're angry that you do. Angry. It's why your liberal Aunt Peggy reacts angrily when you start using facts and logic to break down the insane things she believes. She doesn't want to think, and she doesn't want you to make her think, and she doesn't want you to think. Why can't you just shut up and just do what you're told? I'm going to play this again. We played it last night. Credit to TPUSA. They're the ones who did it. They went to a Kamala Harris rally and started asking her voters, why her? Why her? Why are you here? You could be doing anything. Why are you here? Listen to the cult.
Today, we're trying to find out from the attendees what Kamala Harris's greatest accomplishment has been as VP.
I mean, honestly, I'm not too into politics. I'm just here for the vibe.
Becoming the first female vice president.
Just becoming the VP is the best accomplishment?
Yeah, absolutely.
Being a good person.
Being a good person?
Yeah. She seems really good for women.
Harris is there with the energy. She has a lot of enthusiasm, so it's important to get behind her.
What is Kamala's, like, top accomplishment, you think?
I can't say anything right now.
I'll stop it there. It goes on for another minute. I played it last night. I don't need to do the whole thing. It's hard to accept you're dealing with really cult members. You really are. And like last night, maybe I did wrong by leaving that group, and I was discussing that conversation I was having with the Democrat who randomly came in and, of course, had to start running his mouth. Maybe I did wrong by leaving, but my general philosophy when it comes to this stuff has been this. I've had so many experiences where I will talk to one of these people, and I will, even when I remain calm, which I try to do most of the time, and I walk them through things logically and talk to them, most of the time it doesn't even make a dent. You know, 90% of the cult, 95% of the cult, they want to stay in the cult and they will never leave. I'm not saying the liberal Aunt Peggy in your life can't be saved and you shouldn't try. But I should. Part of the reason I walked away, is can't save them. They don't want to think. They don't want to know. They're programmed. That's safe. That's what they want out of life. All right. Speaking of programmed, did you hear that lady right there who just said Kamala's good for women? What does that mean? Of course, it means nothing. It's not good for women to be raped by the illegal immigrants they pour into this country on purpose. That's not good. How's it good for women? What's she talking about? Well, she believes Kamala Harris will be more likely to allow her to slaughter her babies. That's the only thing she means. Whenever they talk about it's women, it's good for women, it's best for women. Well, what that means is we have a culture in this country. Part of that cult is women just have been programmed to believe that slaughtering their baby is something they should be allowed to do. Everyone should do it. I don't want it. Just kill it. That's our challenge. Now, how do you wake those people up? That's what an ultrasound is for. That's how preborn does it. That young lady who's about to abort her baby, preborn will find her and they'll let her know, hey, come in, get a free ultrasound. That kind of truth, hearing the heartbeat, wakes people up more often than not. $28 is what that ultrasound costs. Preborn.com/Jesse is where you give. Sponsored by Preborn. We'll be back.
I've got an animal inside of me.
This is Jesse Kelly. You're listening to The Jesse Kelly Show.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
It's almost a dirty word, one that connotes conspiracy theory.
Will we ever get the truth about the Benghazi massacre?
Bad faith political warfare, and frankly, bullshit.
We kill the ambassador just to cover something up. You put 2 and 2 together.
Was it an overblown distraction or a sinister conspiracy?
Benghazi is a Rosetta Stone for everything that's been going on for the last 20 years.
I'm Leon Nafok from Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries. This is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Yeah, that's right. Lock her up.
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly song coming back with a Caitlyn Jenner tune on a Friday. Remember, you can email the show jesse@jessekellyshow.com. It is, of course, an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. And I don't want to focus on this.
From a historic perspective, we're at one of the most unaffordable time periods that there's been in the post-2000 time period.
Oh, well, that's inspiring. Hey, Jesse, need your advice. I know you've touched on this before, but I need more specific advice. My husband and I have received periodic questions from friends and family about having kids. I've always wanted to be a mother. My husband was totally on board for having kids once we got married. Now the time is here. We find ourselves very hesitant. I would like to stay at home with the kids since childcare is very expensive and hard to come by in our area. However, if I stay at home, it means cutting our income in half. We'd more than likely have to move back in with my mother to make it work. As much as I want kids, I'm not sure if I want to move back home and cut our income, all so our children can grow up in a continuously deteriorating America. Should we have kids? If so, should I quit my job and stay at home with them, or continue to work and try to provide a better life for them? I just don't know what to do. You know what the greatest, greatest thing in life is? On this planet, I should say. It's having a family structure, a family who loves you. If you are a child listening to the sound of my voice right now, and I know we have a bunch of kids who listen, and I love that, and you have two parents, you have a mom and a dad, they're still together and they're raising you. If you are a child listening to the sound of my voice and you are being raised in a loving two-parent home, I have no doubt your parents make you angry. I certainly make my kids angry from time to time. Maybe you're exasperated. Maybe you're ready to leave. Allow me to explain something to you. You are, all this talk about privilege, you are the most privileged human being on earth. Every single metric points to the fact a man and woman getting married, staying married, and raising their kids set their children up for success. Now, stay with me here. Let's expand that a little bit more, because you mentioned moving in with your mother, right? So what? As I watched, you mentioned the deteriorating America. And I agree with you. Obviously, we're looking around us at things deteriorating culturally, economically. Things are deteriorating. But that is more of a reason to start a family, not less of a reason. Children brighten your home, brighten your day. They teach you how to be less selfish, less focused on yourself. You will guide them. You will watch them grow. You will screw up. I certainly do. They will screw up. But the family unit, you growing your family unit, even if it means moving back in with your mother, it's everything. It's more important than the next paycheck. It's more important than having your own house or a bigger house or a swimming pool or a Lexus, first class tickets. It's everything. As society deteriorates around us, we must become more clannish, for lack of a better way to put it. I realize when you say clannish, people think about the KKK. Not with the hoods, Chris. I mean, we have to focus on our community, our clan, our organization, our family group first. Grow your family as things deteriorate. Don't shortchange yourself, one, on the joys of life, on reproducing, on raising kids. And this society needs your kids. They need you. This society, I raised my sons, and I'm the furthest thing away from a great father. Let me clarify. I love my boys. I have so many flaws and things that I know I'm passing down to them. I don't want to. But when I'm doing right, I raise my boys. I try to raise them with the knowledge this country's going to need them. This country's going to need young men who have their heads on straight, polite. Young men who intend to find a woman, marry her, make babies with her, provide for her, protect her. This country needs young men like that, and vice versa, young women. This country needs wonderful young women who want to be mothers, who want to care for homes, care for men, support, be a team. This country needs more of that, not less. As things devolve around us, we need to be expanding our families, not shrinking our families. Because whatever comes, maybe we will continue to just disintegrate and go downhill as a culture, as a nation. And the history of the world kind of points to that being the most likely outcome. When you're a nation and you hit that peak and you start going down, it's very, 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 very difficult to reverse that. Historically, that's hard to find. So maybe as a country, as a 50-state nation, maybe that's the direction we're going. But no matter what, whether we rebound or whether we just drive this car at 100 miles an hour right off the cliff, a strong, big, loving family will only help. And I understand it means sacrifices. I totally get it. And I have been there. I have, my wife and I, with two kids under three, I had to work out of town for construction. I was doing construction. We had to live in an extended stay hotel with two children under 3 years old. Have you ever been around two toddler boys before? You come home after work, there's not a lazy boy recliner waiting for you or anything like that. You're in an extended stay hotel trying to entertain yourselves and your kids in about 400 square feet. I have been there, burning the candle at both ends. And you know what? To this day, we don't live in that anymore. We own a home now. We've been blessed enough to own a home now. We don't look back on those days and think, gosh, that really sucked. We didn't even have the money. We didn't have the space. We couldn't do it. We look back on those days. We laugh. We look back on them fondly. You know how women have to take pictures and videos of everything? My wife will pull up old videos of us in that stupid little hotel room, and we will laugh and we'll show them to the boys. Look how we used to live. I know you don't remember it. Go start a family. You young men, go find a dime. Don't you dare marry a Democrat. She'll ruin the rest of your life. Find a dime who loves you, wants to support you, care for you, and wants to be a mother, and you put a ring on her freaking finger, and you marry her, and you go make a bunch of babies with her. You dimes out there, I don't care how old you are. What? Never mind. Please be of age. I mean, whether you're 18 or 70, I don't care what you are. Go find a man who wants to provide for you, treat you right, and protect you, And if he offers to put a ring on your finger, you say freaking yes, and you get married and go start cranking out some babies. And I to this day, I have never, ever once had an email to the show, and we get thousands and thousands, more than I could ever sift through. I have never once had an email to this show saying, Jesse, I had kids and I regret it. Jesse, we were going to stop at one, but we had an extra, and man, I wished I hadn't done that. Jesse, we had five. We should have stopped at three. I've never had one of those emails in my life. Instead, it's people like me. I stopped at two. I wished I hadn't. Whether it's in an extended stay hotel or living with your mother, go forth and multiply. Make babies. All right? All right. Someone doesn't think Trump should be sitting down for interviews. Hang on.
You're listening to The Jesse Kelly Show. You're welcome.
It is The Jesse Kelly Show, final segment of The Jesse Kelly Show. Only in this first hour. We, of course, have more than 2 hours to go. Remember, if you miss us or want to talk to me, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Provided the email isn't too long, too boring, or you're not whining about advertising, that I will actually see the email. So fire away, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Dear Balding Bull, I hear people saying Trump shouldn't keep sitting down for interviews every week with people who hate him, especially when Kamala hasn't sat down with anyone. I think he has to because it's almost impossible to get Norm and Norma's to see just how evil the communists really are. What say you? Well, first, let me just say this. It's campaign season, and politics and sports share this in common. People who have zero or very little experience in them will not only think they're experts, they will lecture people who are experts. You know, if you go to a sports game, you probably do this when you watch sports. Look, I'm pointing fingers at myself. You know how I used to be a rabid New York Giants fan. You know how many times I've screamed at my television that the coach ran the wrong play? I've never played a down of football in my life. I was basically a twig in high school. I've never even had shoulder pads on my body, and I would yell at the television that the football coach who played for his entire younger life and then has coached it for 35 years didn't know what he was doing. It's a very natural human response, and the exact same thing happens when it comes to politics. People ask me about the worst thing about running for office. You remember, for you new listeners, I ran for Congress twice in Arizona. I lost twice, but I ran for Congress twice in Arizona. That was actually, it was after I got out of the Marines. It was my first ever political involvement. I'd never been political. And people asked me the worst part about running for office. Was it the knocking on doors? Was it asking people for money or the travel? What was it? By far, the worst thing about running for office for me, I don't want to say for other people, was the advice. It was so absurd. We used to gather as a campaign staff at the end of every day, or I would talk to my wife about it at the end of every day, and we would laugh about it. Everyone you meet, every single person you meet who's involved in politics knows exactly how to run your campaign, what you should be doing, what you shouldn't be doing. And you ask him at all, what's your political involvement? Well, I handed out Barry Goldwater pins in 1864. And so one guy, I'll never forget this in my entire life. In fact, I hope he's listening right now just so he knows I've never forgotten how ridiculous this human being is. So you're running for office. You have to, your time is precious. You have to be seeing voters. You have to be doing voter outreach. You have to be raising money. You have to, and anyone, even on the outside, would know that. You only have so many hours in the day. Well, this guy, this very wealthy gentleman, insisted that he needed to sit down with me for a lunch. Yeah, but I want to sit down with Jesse for a lunch. And so talked to the campaign staff about it. He seemed like a genuine guy. And we're thinking this is going to be a campaign donation, at least on the back of this. He's going to donate. 5 minutes into this lunch, he drops this on me. I'm not going to donate or anything like that to your campaign. I don't donate to anyone politically, but I used to do advertising back in the 60s, and I have some great ideas for what you can do on your campaign. And he sat there for an hour from his 1960s advertising days and scolded me on everything I needed to be doing and shouldn't be doing on my campaign. Just the, what's that word you people use, Chris? Chutzpah? Did I say that right? The gall. How entitled are you? That's how people are. And that's how people get when it comes to presidential campaigns. I have no problem criticizing a campaign if I see something I don't like. I have no problem praising a campaign if I see things I like. Donald Trump, you know, I have issues with Trump. I've been very, very vocal about that, and I always will. And if he's elected president, it's not going to be a big Trump butt-kissing show. It's simply not. I'm going to try to hold him to account and get some things squared away. But Donald Trump has already been elected president of the United States of America. He very clearly, at least on some level, knows how to campaign. We're in the period of time where people get desperate. I know this is where this comes from. People will get desperate. They want to win. Are we losing? The poll numbers look bad. And in our desperation, we will look at whoever's running. This time it happens to be Trump. And we'll say, he can't be doing this. He shouldn't be doing that. I would never do that. It's very tempting. I try to not do a ton of that. He's running, from what I can tell, he's running a pretty solid campaign. He is on message. He's out there doing rallies, getting the voters out. J.D. Vance has been busting his butt out there being on message. When Trump had that debate with Biden, he stayed calm and he stayed on message. Inflation, immigration, inflation, immigration, inflation, immigration. It was over and over and over and over and over again, which is smart. Does that mean I've loved every little thing? Of course not. A social media post blasting Joe Rogan or Brian Kemp doesn't gain Trump a single vote. Doesn't matter if you hate Joe Rogan or hate Brian Kemp, that's idiotic and should never be done. But that's also nitpicky stuff, and it's kind of who Trump is. Overall, I think he's run a solid campaign. Should he be doing all the interviews he's doing? Well, look, I have a different philosophy than him on this. I think you should treat your enemies as if they're enemies. Trump disagrees, and to be honest, he's the one who's been elected president. I haven't. Maybe he's right on that. I believe you set yourself up for failure by constantly sitting down for hostile interviews. We are trying to reach independence, though. Remember, the portion of the campaign that was meant for you is over. It ended as soon as he became the nominee. It ended when the primary ended. He's not talking to you anymore, and frankly, he shouldn't. Shouldn't talk to me either. Trying to talk to Norm and Norma. And sadly, they still watch ABC. So there, that's my thoughts on it. All right, we still have 2 hours left. We have to talk about, well, mainstream media things, people being offended by everything. I'm going to talk to you first about violence. You forget how violent violence is until you see it firsthand. If it's been a while since you experienced it, you know, the amount of violence in this country now with all the crime we've imported, it just sickens me. And I think about all these normal people, men and women, who have to experience this now. Just watched a home invasion last night. This older couple just got beaten. It was awful. And I want to encourage you to go buy a Byrna less lethal pistol launcher. Everyone can do this. Because Byrna is legal in all 50 states. No permit needed, no background check needed. You order it, they'll send it to your home. You have a wife, daughter, shoot, dad, husband. Look, it's not even a gun. It's a less lethal pistol launcher. Tear gas rounds or pepper ball rounds. But these things work. They stop a bad man. Carry something on you. BYRNA. Byrna.com/Jesse saves you money. Byrna.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.